Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast. So let's go ahead and I'm going to go through what the story is for today, and we're going to give context and we're just going to kind of expand on it. So go ahead and I'm going to read it from here, but Mom, you can go ahead and follow along. They came to Bethsaida, and some of the people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and the sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So, we had New Year's. Last week we had Christmas. During Christmas, it's always a great time when you spend with family and friends because, especially now at my age, we start to share stories. And we start to share stories that Mom quite didn't know when we were younger. And some of the things that we love sharing, we just love sharing like funny moments or things that happened when we were kids, and we just reminisce and we remember the great times we've had as a family. And one really funny story is when I was younger, like in middle school, I had this horrible fear that I stopped growing. I thought, yeah, my dad just, yep, he sees it because he knows. I talk to him every day like, when's it going to be my turn? All my friends are taller than me. It's not fair. And like all my friends are all the way up here, and I'm just this little guy. And so like it happened through high school, freshman year, sophomore year, to the point where I'm like, Dad, can we please just make an appointment to the doctors? Because I don't know what's going on. And sure enough, he was just like, yeah, sure, like we can do that. And I just felt like I wasn't growing. I was getting worried. I felt stuck. I saw all my friends growing and becoming adults, and I still felt like this little child. But sure enough, I was growing. It was just little by little. It was gradual. And we tend to look at our faith the same way. We see other people. We see like the milestones that they have. We see how God has blessed them. And then we compare it to ourselves and say, why aren't we like that? Why am I not there like they are? Why can't I be as open during worship as they are? Why can't I raise my hands like they are and just not care about everyone? Why can't I just give my offering just like they can with no worry? Why can't I fill in the blank, whatever it is? And sometimes when we think of the word faith, we think of words associated with faith, like supernatural or phenomenal, or one of the main things we think of is immediate or suddenly, right now. When we have faith, it is right now that's going to happen. Miracles happen instantly. And then when it happens to us, when faith is gradual, when a miracle is gradual and we don't see that, we don't see the suddenness of it, we don't see how immediate it is, we tend to get frustrated, right? We panic. We struggle because we live in a society where everything is instant. We live in a society that if something doesn't load on our page, it's quickly to scroll past and be like, okay, what's the next thing? It's easy to say, oh, this show on TV is not really showing up on the time that I wanted to, so let's go to another show. And it shows how impatient we really are. So then when our faith isn't growing, like how we see other people's grows, it's easy to discount it. It's easy to move on to the next thing. Put your mind on something else other than your faith. Or maybe because it doesn't grow immediately, maybe you begin to get frustrated with God. God, why am I not there like them? God, why am I not growing like they are? I thought I should have this by now, and I'm still here. Or maybe you're disappointed in yourself. Maybe you're kind of like me, a perfectionist. If everything isn't right, or if I didn't do something completely right, it's my fault. I'm the reason why I don't have these things. It's not because of God. It's because of me. And we discount ourselves so quickly because of that. We say, the reason why this isn't happening is because it is my fault, and I'm not good enough to go talk to God about it. Because I am ashamed of what I did. Sometimes it's maybe you're offended with other people. Maybe why God isn't showing you what you want is because he wants to do a work in you, and it has to be forgiving someone else. Maybe it has to have a conversation with someone else. Maybe it's to apologize and to admit that you're wrong. Or maybe it's to have a difficult conversation that you've been holding off on. So why do we feel like this? Why are we feeling like we are stuck so often? Why do we feel like we have all these things inside of us? Well, you see, a lot of us, it's just how we measure things, right? It's how we are comparing to other people. We see other people's milestones. We see other people doing all these great things on social media, but we don't see the process. Yet, Sunday service is amazing. These lights, the band, that is phenomenal and amazing, and we thank Rick and we thank the entire worship team for creating that atmosphere for us, but we don't see the hours that get dived in throughout the week. We don't see how long it took them to prepare to learn how to play guitar or learn how to play the drums or learn how to match their vocals or put up these lights, put up, I forgot what they're called, the curtains, the trees. Like, we don't see that. What we see is the final product. We don't see the little by little gradual growth that it took to get here. And so when we see that in other people's lives, we discount ourselves saying, we're not there, so why should I even try anymore? Why am I even going to bother? By now, you probably thought you would have had the promotion that you really wanted. Or by now, you would have thought that you've had control over your schedule versus your schedule having control over you. Can I get an amen on that one? That's me 90% of the time. By now, you would have thought in 2021 that you would have a certain breakthrough. Or by now, you would have thought that your bills would have been paid. Or by now, you would have thought that you'd be farther in life than you actually are when you thought about 2020. So Christmas this year, my parents, they're very literal, and I love that. Because when they asked me what I wanted for Christmas, I said two things. And I said I wanted a leveler and a stud finder. Because I wanted to put shelves up in my apartment, and I don't have anything on my walls. Like, legitimately, like, not a painting or anything. It's just bare walls. You can tell a guy lives there because it is just a TV, a few sofas, and a refrigerator. Like, it is just very minimalistic. It does me the job. I love it. It is very, like, I can keep my space. But finally, I was just like, you know what? I like some shelves, you know? I can put stuff on it, put some pictures. And so my dad goes all out. He doesn't just get me one leveler. He gets me several ways of leveling. One, two, three. And then, just in case if that wasn't enough, he added a tape measure just in case I needed some added measurements. And then, not besides that, he got me the stud finder, right? But then he gave me another one that he thought was really cool. I thought was really cool. I didn't really know how it worked, but he showed me how it worked. And it's so cool to think about it this way, because when we ask our father, when we ask our dad to show us where we're at, he will give us multiple ways to do that. He will provide for us multiple things. Sorry. He'll provide for us multiple things to do what we ask to do. But it's not immediate, right? When we look at our children, when we see, when we are little kids, whenever they ask them, how tall are you? You put them on a measuring, right? They're not going to know how tall they are until they get up onto the measuring thing. And then as time goes on, it is a gradual growth, right? And so we need to go to our Father and just say, where are we at? And reflect on where we're at, because growth is not immediate. Growth is not something that just we're just there. It is slow, and it takes time, just like a child when they grow. So we cannot discount our faith based on the fact that we're not where we're supposed to be. J.R.R. Tolkien, he wrote The Hobbit and he wrote Lord of the Rings, and he says this, little by little, one travels far. Little by little, one travels far. Don't be surprised if you ask God for miracles and he responds with gradual change. Don't be surprised if God is going to gradually change you and transform you when you ask for a miracle. Because what the reality is he wants to do something in you so he can do something through you. He wants it to be a testimony, not an instant fix. Not all of God's miracles are immediate, but they are progressive. They progress you forward. They help you, and they make you learn from your mistakes. They make you learn from your past. He puts you on a journey. I can teach you how to grow over time. I can't teach you how to grow overnight. He can teach us how to grow over time. He can't teach us, well, he can, but overnight is just not enough for us. He can do it, but are we going to get the same amount out of it? If we do it over time, there's a lot more we can grow from that. When we grow, it feels slow. When we grow, it feels slow. I can preach that all day for myself. Pastor Cynthia can agree. I feel like I'm never going anywhere. But she always reminds me of how much I'm growing and how much that I'm learning. And I can't be any more thankful for the position she's put me in and helped me through that day in and day out. And she reminds me every day of how much I am growing. She reminds me that we are going on the same path, that we have a vision and we are going forward with that. And I appreciate that every time. When we grow, it feels slow. But that doesn't mean you're not growing. So we're going to go ahead and look at the very first verse, Mark 8:22. And before I read it, I'm going to give some context. So Jesus just finished feeding 4,000 people at this time, and he was walking to Bethsaida, and a group of people begged Jesus to heal the blind man just by touching him. So then when we read, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged to Jesus to touch him. Now, I want to pause on that real quick because it doesn't say who. It just says some people. Do our titles really matter when it comes to doing the will of God? Do we have to be on stage preaching the word as the next-gen pastor, as the senior pastor, as the worship leader, as a youth leader? Do we have to have a title? Because right here, it says some people. They were obedient and they were trustworthy. We don't need to have a title to follow what God is asking us to do. When you think about how you first went to church, when you think about how you first got into this church setting, it was a person that brought you. It was a parent, it was a friend, brother, sister, coworker, someone that constantly invited you, someone that always just asked you if you wanted to come, maybe pressured you, maybe tricked you, maybe told you they were going to buy you lunch afterwards, who knows. But someone convinced you to come here somehow. It wasn't a title, it was someone who brought you here. Just like you have the opportunity to be someone to bring here. You have a job, you have a calling. Let's go ahead and go to the next verse, 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And I'm going to stop right there. He took a blind man and took him outside the village. Why did he take him out of his environment, I wonder? Why did he take him out of his comfort zone? Somewhere where, as a blind man that can't see, knows where everything's at. How many times does he does that for us? When we ask Jesus to do something for us, how many times does he take us to a place that we're not quite sure we're ready to enter? How many times does he start preparing something in you that you're not quite sure how you feel about it? You see, when Jesus touches you, he transforms you. When he transforms you, he puts you on a journey. Because you can't do that in your own comfort box. Remember last time we talked about how we have a church box and we have our work box, and we have our life box. God really easily wants you to take that stuff in the church box and put it in your other boxes. But to do that, you have to have a journey with him. You have to be with him. And the other part to think about, too, is this man is blind. He doesn't know where he's going. When Jesus asks you to follow him, do you know where you're going? He's blind. He is having spiritual eyes. He is having complete faith in who Jesus is. He takes him away from his normal. He takes us away from our normal. So side note, this is why I love summer camp for high schoolers and middle schoolers so much, and for kids, because we get them out of their normal. We put them in a place where it's just God. And that's where, I think it was Pastor Rick that asked me last Monday. He said, what was your favorite thing about this job? So far, working here for a few years, what's your favorite part? And I said, when I see those kids at summer camp. When you invest in the kids, they become your own. When they become your own, there's a weight. So when you hear about the toxic things that they go through, and you are obedient to God, and you take them, and you see God move through them, you see how God changes lives. That's my favorite part. That should be our part. That should be our mission. How can we change the next generation? How can we change this year? How can we change the neighbors next to us? Who can we draw in? Because God's not looking for titles. He's looking for something. And one of the things I've been learning a lot, too, now, again, thanks to Pastor Cynthia and just really just pouring her out on to me every single week, is being alone with God is different than just being alone. When Jesus took him to the wilderness, it was just those two. When we are feeling alone, when we need to have our time with God, you're not really alone. There is solitude in that. You are in the presence of God. I'm not alone, I'm with Jesus. And the only way you get to that point is through faith. So we need to have faith, just like this blind man, to take Jesus' hand and go outside the village. We need faith to follow. So the other part of this, when he had spit on the man's eyes, put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Now here's my question for you. How badly do you want to get saved? This man got his eyes spit on. How far are you willing to get what you're asking God for? Because he already took him on a journey. He's already walking and talking with him. Now he pulls him off to the side and spits on his eyes. What's God going to do to you? What's God going to ask you to do that's going to be a little weird? That's going to be a little out of the normal? Jesus doesn't go and spit on people's eyes every day. So what's he going to ask you to do? It's so crazy. So when I was talking about doing this message, when I was talking about measuring, and I was talking to it with Pastor Cynthia, she told me about this verse. She told me about this story and said this would be a really good reference about healing of the blind man. And so I started looking for it, and I started finding the other ones. There are 7 different accounts in the Bible of Jesus healing a blind person, and all 7 of them are different. So imagine the blind man at this point. He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus has done to other blind people at this time. So then, knowing that, Jesus asks him to take a walk. Imagine how he probably felt at this time. Well, he just did it instantly for the other people. Why do I have to go for this walk? Why do I have to step out in faith? Why does my healing have to be gradual compared to the other people that I've heard of? Why? And just, we don't know that for a fact, but just think about if you were in his shoes and you knew the other healings and God does that to you. Exactly. He knew who God was. And as they are walking and talking, I could imagine if I was in his shoes, I'd be frustrated. So I'm like, come on, God, just get it done. Let's go. Like, I know. I got stuff to do. I'm afraid to say that to God. Never mind. Sorry, God. All right. Yikes. But sometimes that's us, right? We know who Jesus is. We know what he has done. But we compare our growth to those around us and say, God, why can't you do this? I don't think it's God that's the issue in this scenario. We don't see the little by little the others have. We just see the marks of growth that they have, just like I talked about in here. And when we begin this year of 2021, we need to believe that this is the beginning, that God is preparing something great for tomorrow. This is a preparing time. This is a time for us to build, and this is a time for us to be in solitude, and a time for us to have vision of what God wants for this year. It is important for us to see with spiritual eyes, because faith is the absence of knowing. Faith is the absence of sense, really. And so when God gives us visions, it gives what we are suffering, the things that we feel stuck in, it gives the things that we feel like we are trapped in, it gives that purpose. We're not really stuck. God's just preparing something greater for us in the future. Vision creates passion, which gives direction. When we know where God is taking us, then we can withstand the pain that is happening in our lives, and he gives direction through that passion. It is not over yet. You are not stuck. You are not trapped. You are not bound to whatever lie that the enemy is telling you. There is a purpose for your pain. There is a purpose for the season that you are in. There is a purpose that God is building inside of you, and we need to have that time of solitude with him. Because Jesus, when he took this blind man, he took him out of the city. He took him away from his normal. How often are we too busy to just have that moment with God? I know I should be telling that to myself. I can make myself very busy very quick and say, I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later. And with my memory, yeah, my mom laughs. She knows. She tells me to get something done. It ain't getting done unless I do it right now. But I need to have my solitude with God. I need to have that time where I see the vision that God is having for me and having for our youth group and having for our children's church so that I understand the season that we're in to prepare us to go forward. And God wants that for you in your individual life as well. So let's go ahead and go to 8:24. Thank you. So this is kind of peculiar to me. So when Jesus asked, did you see anything? He replied, he looked up and said, I see people and they look like trees asking around or walking around. Sorry, I was like reading as I was talking. So the man didn't have eyesight completely. He kind of saw things. He knew what he saw, but he wasn't sure what it was. This was a gradual miracle happening. It wasn't instant. This was something that took time for it to happen. It wasn't an instant cure of the blindness. But the thing that I think is interesting is he was blind, right? But yet he knew what people look like. He knew what trees look like, which leads me to assume that he wasn't born blind. How many times he just lost his vision along the way? How many times do we, as we walk in life, we tend to lose our vision along the way? And we need to have Jesus to take us outside of the city to regain our vision and our purpose. We've all had our scares in 2020. We've all had our things that's happened to us in life that made us lose our vision. And it could very easily continue to make us lose our vision. That's why when we cry out to God, we need to have that time and that space to be in solitude with him, for him to do that gradual miracle inside of us, and for us to see the gradual things he's already doing in our lives. Because even though we feel stuck, when we go with God and we see the measurement and we see he's actually doing stuff inside of us every single day, we just don't realize it because we just want to see everything get fixed immediately. But I love this next verse. Let's go ahead and go to the next verse. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, the sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. We have a once more God. It doesn't matter how many times we mess up. It doesn't matter how many times we lose our vision. It doesn't matter how many times we fall off the track. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored. You are not done yet. This year is just the start of something. This is beginning. This is preparing. This is building. He is a once more God. I can easily say from my personal experience, I have witnessed a once more God in my life because I have my own fair of mess ups. I have my own times where I just felt like I was unworthy of the call. But it wasn't me that was the calling. It was God working through me that was able to get me where I'm at. He is a once more God. Every moment that you feel like you are alone, every moment that you feel like what you're doing is not enough, every moment where you feel stuck, he is a once more God to re-give you back the vision and purpose that he has for you. Some of us, we want a do-over of 2020. We wish that we could take certain things back. We wish we could have that time when we're not in quarantine, that we could do this or that during quarantine, or just that in life in general. But God is saying, no, I have greater things for you in the future. I am a once more God. I can restore and replenish and do greater things through you during that time. It's so funny. Growing up, my parents, they gave me a PlayStation and a PlayStation 2, and I loved video games growing up. And sometimes while I'm playing or sometimes if I don't play for a little while, dust will get in. Just little dust. And so then when I put the game in and I turn it on, the thing won't start. And it just won't, and it'll just say, like, it's not working. So sometimes I have to take the CD out, I have to clean it, I have to take the dust out and put it back in, press play, and I can go. Dust. Little dust. Can't even see it when you're just looking at it. And that's how the enemy works in our lives, right? Just little things. What are the little things in your life? What are the gaps in your life that you allow little things to come in to allow the enemy to work, to stop you from working the way that you're supposed to? What is the dust inside of you that God is asking you to get rid of? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's something you did in the past, but guess what? God already forgave you of that. Maybe it's a habit that you're afraid to tell anyone, that you're ashamed to tell anyone. But guess what? God already forgave you of that as well. There is no shame when it comes to God. He already knows. And he's asking you if you want to work again. He can cleanse you. He can restore you and give you vision and make you work just like how you want to work. You see, when we were quarantined, when we were stuck, when we were in our time, we weren't waiting. God was restoring. God was telling us it's okay to take a break. God was saying we're not as busy as we should be or as we think we should be. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to have trust in me. It's okay to relax a little bit. Because when we get busy and we get overworked and we get stressed, we tend to lose that measuring stick. We tend to look at what other people's accomplishments are and we forget what God's doing inside of us because we're too busy to look at that. And so, as we go into this time of worship, as we get ready, I just encourage you, if something just really pulled on your heart during this message, if something makes you feel like, I really need to regain that vision. I need to have that time alone with God. I need to be back in focus and ready, preparing for this year. I encourage you, we're going to have a prayer team up here. If you want to have that time to just talk and to just have that time to just pray to God and have someone with you in that, I encourage you to do that. Or maybe this is your first time here and you've never accepted Jesus in your life before, and during this message you just kind of felt like a heaviness in your heart, or you just kind of felt like a tug. And you don't know really why, but you feel like during the message that you are tired of being alone. You are tired of feeling like you don't know what your purpose is. You are tired of feeling like you're not quite sure what your next step is. And you just need to have that answer. And that answer is Jesus. He's the one that fills the void. We just had communion. He is that bread of life. He is the one that fills that void that we have every single day. Yes, we can fill it with money. We can fill it with food. We can fill it with materials, but it's not the same. It's not the same as when you go into solitude with him and you pray with him and he gives you vision. Because when you have vision, you know the purpose of your pain. You know the purpose of what the season is you are currently in. So if you feel like you're not quite sure what your next step is, if you don't feel like you're tired, or you do feel like you're tired of wandering by yourself, you're tired of being that blind man, I just encourage you to take that faith and take that step to walk up and to find a member of our prayer team and just share. When it comes to light, God can work in and through it. Whatever you are afraid of, whatever you are scared of, hand it to God. Whatever you are unsure of, hand it to God. Because he is a once more God. It doesn't matter how many times you messed up. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen off the rail. Once more, he will restore. Once more, he will give you your vision. Once more, he will fill you up with his presence, with his love, and remind you that you are not done. 2021 is a whole new year, with a whole new beginning, with a whole new mission and a vision for you. God has something great for you today. God is preparing something great in you today. So whatever that is, whatever that tug in your heart is, I encourage you that for you to just come on up and just share it. When you talk with someone about it, it makes it more real. That element of faith will start to turn inside of you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.